Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today as we talk about a new book. It's titled The Paper Solution, What to Shred, What to Save, and How to Stop It from Taking Over Your Life. With me is the author, Lisa Woodruff. She's also a home organization expert, a productivity specialist, and creator of the blog and podcast at organize365.com. So, questions about what to save and what to get rid of when it comes to paper. Have you had to deal with sorting through a lifetime of paper? Love to hear from you. Give us a call at 800-642-1234, or you can send us an email to ideas@wpr.org. ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Lisa Woodruff, welcome to the show. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Larry, thank you so much for having me.
This seems like a problem we don't realize until we're forced to deal with it, maybe cleaning out parents' or grandparents' house or moving. Can you tell us first about why you see this as such a serious problem?
Yes, I 100% agree with you. You can ignore your paper almost forever until you are in a big life transition. Like you said, moving, settling a state, advocating for someone who has fallen ill, advocating for your children who need extra care. Those are the times when you're going to need your paper. And at that time, your paper is very powerful. It's very important. It could save you a lot of money or it can cost you a lot of money. And how you have your paper in order when you get into those unexpected events is going to either make them go easier or make them much harder than they need to be.
Yeah. And you write about feeling the full force of this problem yourself after losing your father maybe a decade ago or so. Is that right?
Yes. I mean, I'm an organized person. My house is organized and my parents were organized as well. They had awesome filing cabinets and all the lawyers and all of the living wills and trusts that you should have. But having my father fall ill for 9 months and ultimately pass away caused me to be power of healthcare, power of attorney, and ultimately the executor. And there was just so much paper that we didn't even need. And also so much information that was in my dad's head or on his computer that wasn't printed out was really difficult to find out after the fact.
Yeah. And, you know, I can understand your father's point of view. It's hard to get rid of some of these things. Sometimes they're sentimental. You know, you're sentimental about something. Actually, I'm thinking your father and his car catalog collection, for example.
Yeah.
Which was quite a collection, apparently.
Oh, my father always loved automobiles. I mean, when he was a child, he would go out and he would wax his parents' cars. And when he was six, they had this product called Babbo, which is like almost a gritty material. He waxed his parents' cars with that and ruined the whole finish. He has always loved cars. So he had all these car catalogs. He had all this car information of every car he'd ever owned. And I had to go through all of that, which, like you said, was very emotional and very hard. But he loved it. Like, you should keep the paper that you love as well as the important paper. Just separate them so that the important paper that people need to advocate for you and care for you is separate and in a location that is usable than all of your other memorabilia paperwork.
Yeah. You wonder how you wind up with so much of this paper in the first place. I have in my kitchen, I've got a sort of a breakfast bar in the kitchen. And it is 7 feet long, about. And I looked at it, you know, I've been reading your book, and then I looked at it this morning, and it is full of paper. And I, where the heck did this all come? You know, and it happens every, you know, and about every other week, I sort of organize it and clean it off and get rid of stuff, but then it just fills right back up again.
Yeah, that's totally normal. It's totally normal to have piles of paper. That's your actionable paper. Like, you can't file it because it's a bill to pay or a birthday card to send or a receipt from a big purchase that you're not sure if you're going to keep it or not, and now you know you're going to keep it. So where do you put all that paperwork that is in transition? And I just put it in a decorative box on that same counter, which makes it not take up as much space. And then I go through it every single Sunday, and I call that my Sunday basket system.
It's interesting. I made a purchase yesterday of a new electric toothbrush, battery operated one, and I brought it home and, you know, put it aside. And then last night when I went to try it out, it didn't work. And so now where is the slip of paper that shows I purchased it at this place? And I had to go through five bags to find that slip of paper. I found it, but I thought if I hadn't tried this thing for a couple of days, there's no way I would have found that slip of paper.
So true. And how fast our lives move. You don't always get to try things or double check everything that you buy immediately. So we do like to hang on to receipts, not forever, but for things that cost more than $10 or $20 and you're not really sure, we do like to hang on to those receipts for a week or two. But where do you place them? That's the problem. Having a system for when you took out the toothbrush, also taking the receipt, throwing it in that basket would have saved you that time for looking for things. And the average American spends 55 minutes a day looking for things.
I can't believe, especially in this day and age where a lot of people are working from home. As a teacher, I had to bring from my office a lot of papers to my home that relate to classes I teach. So I've got papers, it feels like, everywhere, trying to get them organized. And how do you end up with, you wonder how you end up with so much paper in the first place. I had that as a reason, but where does it all come from?
Well, I think it comes from two things. One is that people give it to you, but two is the way you process information. So you sound like you're similar to me. I like to print stuff out. I like to see it on paper. Our brain does process things differently than if we read it on a computer screen or if we read it printed out on a piece of paper. I prefer to read and highlight and annotate. And when you want to do that, then you need to have this paper. And when you have this paper in front of you, how do you organize the quantity of it? And that's where I feel the get rid of all the paper or touch it once philosophy has really failed people like us who like to have our paper, but we need a system for that paper while it's actionable.
Yeah. Give our listeners a chance to join in. You can reach us at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear your experiences. Shelley in Madison is up with a comment for us. Shelley, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thank you very much. And oh my gosh, is this program timely? My comment was, first of all, for your elderly parents or relatives, do as much with them as you possibly can to get as much things organized, at least know their wishes before you have to do that. And the same for yourself. And I think it's easier to do for other people than it is for yourself. I'm in a situation where right before the COVID lockdown came, my dad was hospitalized and eventually moved to assisted living. And I'm power of attorney and do all of his paperwork and have for years and years and years. He does not live with my mother. And 3 weeks ago, my mother had a stroke. And I'm power of attorney and taking care of everything for her. So it's just good to have as much organized as early as you can before you have to organize it. And I will tell you that helps remove the emotion too, is that if you know, okay, I've got to get rid of X, Y, and Z, and I'm going to keep this and where it's going to go. So I think that's just very, very important. Your program couldn't be more timely.
Oh, Shelley, thanks so much for calling. Comment, Lisa Woodruff.
Oh, Shelley, my heart goes out to you. And this is exactly why I'm so passionate about this. Not that you can't organize paperwork at any time, but at this time, all these things are happening to Shelley. She's taking care of both of her parents and her regular life and her regular paperwork. And I'm sure the thing she'd like to be doing with her time is spending as much time possible with her mom and her dad. But what you end up doing is advocating for them and going through paper and trying to keep track of your own life, and I want this done so that you could spend all the time with your loved one.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Shelley, thanks for calling. Appreciate your call. And you, I mean, you were kind of in a similar situation. At least you had medical, as I remember reading in your book, you had, there were some medical issues in your family for, you were spending a lot of money. I mean, half your income or whatever was going to medical bills, and certainly brought home for you a lot of the issues about being organized.
Yes, when my father first fell ill, I live in Cincinnati. My parents are from the Akron-Cleveland area, so it's about a four-hour drive. And my children were in grade school at the time and had significant medical issues of their own. So I remember when I first got the call to go, because my father was in the hospital, I got in the car and started driving, and then I started making phone calls. And I called our babysitter, who knew all of the medications that one of my children took. And I said, okay, get to the house. And for an hour on the phone, I was like, pick up the bottle. Tell me what it says. Okay, here's how you fill the pill containers. Because even my husband didn't know how to do that. 50% of our take-home pay was going to medical expenses. We were drowning in debt. We had no extra time, but I had to prioritize my father. And then as soon as I would get back, I would prioritize my kids. And so the thing I couldn't do was work, which meant I couldn't bring in any more money.
Oh, boy. Well, Bobbin from Madison called wondering if you have any suggestions on how to deal with a spouse who never throws any paper away.
I like, you know how some people will clean your house and they say they don't do windows? I like to say I don't do spouses. So I often will say, when you're organizing, focus on yourself. So if you're saying, oh, my goodness, I wish my parents or my grandparents had their paper organized, my question to you is, do you? So first, organize yourself. Have you eliminated your filing cabinet? Do you have it down to just four portable binders that people could use to advocate for you? Are all of your affairs in order? Once you've done it for yourself, it'll be easier to guide your parents through or someone else. And when it comes to spouses, two things happen. When you start to get your life in order and you get organized, very often your spouse will start to follow your lead. Now, they may not declutter as much as you want to declutter, but they will declutter some. And I never declutter items for anyone else. So if I'm professionally organizing a house, I will only declutter with the person I'm organizing with. I won't declutter their spouse's possessions. Because once you do that, then trust is broken, and then they will be even more hesitant to declutter anything in the future.
Yeah, makes sense. Kathy in Sabisky, Wisconsin, it's your turn. Hi, Kathy.
Good morning. I have a suggestion for people. FEMA has a emergency checklist that you can go on their website and print it off for yourself. I did this, and it forced me to not only go through our will and power of attorney, but it has you write down things like your prescriptions, your insurance policies, your investments, who the agents are, who your advisors are. And after I compiled all that, I put one copy in our safety deposit box, and I gave a second copy to one of our children so that should something happen, they really have things at their fingertips.
Hmm. What do you think of that, Lisa? It sounds pretty good to me.
Oh, my goodness, that is awesome. Go download that free resource. I did not know that that existed. We have something similar at Organize 365. If you go to organize365.com/emergency, you can download half of our medical binder for free. And in there, we guide you through writing through your medical history, your prescriptions, all of those things that you would need if you were to have to go to a hospital right now. If you go to a hospital right now, my husband had to go a couple weeks ago to the emergency room. They will not let anyone else come in. And so you cannot advocate for people who are going into the emergency room and sending in those pieces of paper. I've had doctors and nurses call me crying, saying, thank you so much for this paperwork. We knew exactly how to start treating the patients that come in when they have this information printed out. So, yes, do that and also download our emergency printables so you can fill out your health history.
Kathy, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. Lisa Woodruff, our guest today, she is the author of The Paper Solution, What to Shred, What to Save, and How to Stop It from Taking Over Your Life. I'm Larry Mueller. Natalie Guyette, our producer today, Tyler Ditter, our engineer, and you are listening to the Ideas Network. Taking a look at a new book, it's called The Paper Solution, What to Shred, What to Save, and How to Stop It from Taking Over Your Life, with its author, Lisa Woodruff. Great to have her with us today. I really appreciate her taking the time to talk with us. And I hope you'll join in with your own questions or comments, maybe an experience to share as well. The number is 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org. And Lisa, maybe we go back to the book for the book and talk about how your book is organized and what it tells us.
Sure. So The Paper Solution is a book that you can read from cover to cover, and it will walk you through your disorganized filing cabinets, your stacks of paper, how to declutter those, how to set up this weekly Sunday basket routine, and the 6 binders that I recommend that you move from your filing cabinet into these binders, how to set them up, what papers go in every single book. Mm-hmm. Or how I would have used it when I would have bought it. I probably would not have just bought it and started organizing my paper, but I was desperately looking for this book 10 years ago when my dad got sick to find out, how do you create these kind of binders? What do I need in there? What are the steps? I would have bought it and jumped right to the medical binder, and then I would have jumped right to the financial binder when I needed to create those for my father.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of very good practical information in your book for sure. And you mentioned filing cabinets now a couple of times. You're not a fan of filing cabinets at all.
The reason why I'm not a fan of filing cabinets is because almost all of the paper organization that you've ever heard of is to create another filing cabinet, use color-coded files, use the hanging files. And when we use the same modality for organizing, we don't change our way of thinking. But my saying, ditch the filing cabinets, everybody's going, wait a minute, but then where do I put my paper? And now you're open to hearing, why wouldn't you want to use filing cabinets? Now, unfortunately, this week is a great example of why filing cabinets are the worst way to store your files. Number one, we store 85% of stuff we don't need. And number two, they are not portable. So if you live in California, if you live in Louisiana and Florida, and you are expecting the hurricanes or you're evacuating from a fire, how do you take your important papers with you? You can't in a filing cabinet. And in 2016, when my audience was reaching out to me because of all the fires and hurricanes then, they said, Lisa, what do I do? And I said, I'm sorry, just get out of your house. Like, there's nothing you can do right now. And I never wanted to be in that situation again, where the organizational system that I recommended did not work in the emergency that you were in. Secondly, whenever you need this paperwork, you almost never need it at home. You need it in school when you're advocating. You need it in front of the doctor when you're going over test results. You need it in front of the lawyer when you're settling the estate. And so it's not practical to just take tons of files or your filing cabinet with you. But 1 2-inch binder that's well organized is really easy to take with you and use for advocacy.
Yeah. A listener emailed with a question. Each month they receive reports on the drugs prescribed to them, their spouse, and their mother. Do they even need to keep these multiple reports? And if so, how long would you keep them?
No, they don't need to keep those at all. But that is a great reminder that if you are wondering, what prescriptions have I taken in the past? What prescriptions do I have? That instead of going through your prescription bottles, you could just go to your online pharmacy and print that information out. It will give you the names, the generic name, the prescription name, and the doses that you're taking, which will update your medical binder very quickly.
Yeah. Sarah in Madison has something for us. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to share a story that I moved just this last week from the La Crosse area to the Madison area. And as I was preparing to move, I was finding papers that I have been hoarding for more than a decade, things like EOBs from my explanations of benefits from my insurance company, health bills that I've paid, And I, as I was going through it, I kept thinking, why am I holding on to this? And I think I just have a real issue with not wanting to throw away something that I think at the time is important. And I was brutal with myself, and I ended up shredding probably 4 bags, garbage bags full of papers.
So you took everything from 2010 and earlier and got rid of it.
Even the stuff that was more current, I got rid of, because there's just, you know, all of that, all of my explanations of benefits and my medical bills, if I need to reference them, I can access them through electronic means. And the only things I kept were things from my parents' estates and things that, you know, that I truly think I'm going to need in the future.
Oh, well, Lisa, it sounds like Sarah is on the right track, perhaps, here.
Yeah, Sarah, can you tell us how you feel now that you've done that? I mean, because you were hesitant to do it and then you did it. Are you happy you did it, or do you still have some hesitancy?
No, I'm extremely relieved. I questioned why. This is my second move in 10 years, and I thought, why did I move all this stuff from one place to another when I just truly have no need for it? And it was like a burden was lifted from my shoulder just to get rid of all of those papers. I even had employee handbooks from companies I haven't worked for in 15 years.
You are not alone. Do you remember how long it took you to do this?
Unfortunately, it took about, I would say, 8 hours.
Okay, that's really fast. I usually say that when you're going to start a big purge or go through all of your past paperwork, know that it is going to take a while. Often it will take 3 to 4 months to go through everything. Now, you had a move, which made you move a little bit faster, but it's not a quick process, but it is a very cathartic process.
Yeah. Sarah, thank you so much. Again, you can join in too with your own questions or experiences at 1-800-642-1234 or email at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Well, this whole purging, I mean, you talk about in your book about how to go about that process that our caller was kind of describing, but you give a more detail.
Yeah. So you have two different kinds of paper. You have the active paper, which you and I have both talked about on our kitchen counters, and then you have archive paper, paper that you would go look for, like in filing cabinets or binders or things like that. And the big purge really is related to that filing cabinet archive paper that you probably haven't looked at in a long time. Your active paper is sorted differently. And when you're going to do the big purge with your filing cabinet paper, I usually suggest just block out 15, 20 minutes a day, go wherever your filing cabinet is, grab 5 to 10 files, take them into your kitchen counter, sort them there. And the reason why I tell you to take them to your kitchen counter is, one, it's climate controlled and it won't hurt your back, but also because if you have your files that far away from your filing cabinet, you will declutter more. When you're just leafing through your filing cabinet, you go, well, I could keep it. I could get rid of it. I guess I'll keep it. But when it's all the way in your kitchen, you're like, I could keep it. I could get rid of it. I really don't want to walk it back down there or up there or wherever the filing cabinet is. I guess I'll get rid of it. So you tend to get rid of more when you relocate the paper somewhere else when you're sorting it.
So that's how you start. And then where do you go from there?
So once you get through all of your archive paper, you usually will get through like 85%. You will declutter 85%. So then you're left with a certain number of files that you are going to keep or are important. And then you start to sort those by type. There are really only 5 types of paper. And that's where paper organization gets so much easier when you realize there are categories. There are medical papers, financial papers, papers related to your house that would stay with your house if you were to move, home papers, papers related to how you run your house, like vacations, pets, cleaning schedules, recipes, and papers related to children. Those 5 categories, almost every single paper can go into one of those 5 categories. And once you've divided your paper into those 5 categories, then you can keep your filing cabinet if you want, or you could turn those into binders.
No. And the binders that, you know, you're kind of particular, well, not Yeah, you are. You're particular about those binders too. You don't want to scrimp, as I remember in your book, on that, the cost and so forth.
Yes. So I organize 365 sales binders, but you can also find binders. Like, think about, you're going to reference these binders over and over and over again for decades. So just like you would invest in a filing cabinet, invest in quality binders. I like Deluxe D-Ring 2-inch one-touch binders.
And the covers have to overlap like a half inch or something. They have to be longer than the papers.
Yes, because I use slash pockets, which are like plastic insert dividers that go in binders that are oversized, so that if you did put your papers inside of sheet protectors, that the tabs stick outside of those sheet protectors, but yet your binder is big enough to protect those tabs. And many of you, your eyes are glazing over and you're like, who even knows this stuff? But some of you are like, yes, I've always been looking for that. Does that exist? Yes, it does.
Well, let's go to Sherry in Cameron, Wisconsin. Hi, Sherry.
Hi.
What's on your mind today?
Well, I'm facing a mountain of paperwork. I'm my mother's power of attorney. She recently had a sudden onset of dementia in March, and she was originally hospitalized and then moved to a memory care facility. So I'm literally in my car on my way to her house to go through, I mean, decades of stuff. And I just, you know, I'm overwhelmed with what I need to keep and what I can get rid of and the whole emotional thing. And yeah, so this is a timely program for me to listen to.
Yeah. Well, how do you, Lisa, what advice do you have for Sherry in that situation?
So Sherry, it is, when you get started going through this paperwork, you are going to run into papers that will emotionally stop you. And as hard as it is, I would love for you to just take that paper and set it to the side. Don't get rid of it. And then go to another file. Almost like try to find as much as you can get rid of quickly that is not emotional, like old manuals or things that you know, files that you know there's nothing in there that is valuable that you can move into getting rid of so that you're looking at less. And when you get to files that are really important or have a lot of information that you have to go through longer, set those to the side to take them home with you so that you can do them at home as well, or you could do them in the memory care unit with your mom if you're allowed to visit, so that you don't have to sort all of the paper in the house. If it's detailed, take it with you. If you know you can get rid of it, get rid of it. And the things that are medium, do those as you have the energy to do them.
Good advice. And Sherry, I'm sorry for the mountain of work you've got ahead of you, but good luck with it. And I really appreciate your call. Harold in Superior, Wisconsin, your turn now. Hi, Harold.
Well, good morning. I want to share a couple of things that I've been doing that I think are very, very helpful for me. And as that goes, sometimes it's a personal thing, but, you know, each person has their own method. I've gone from... First of all, I suffer from ADD, so I'm organizing is just it's difficult. I found that using a 3x5 card was worked pretty good, but then I found if I cut it in half, it's a nice little card I can put in my pocket without bending it all up, and it doesn't take up a lot of space, easy to pull in and out of my pocket. Then my shirt pocket, same thing, doesn't take up all the space in my shirt pocket, and they're small. They're one topic on one side. If I want to use the other side, it's another topic. And I encourage people to give that a try. Just take a bunch of 3x5 cards, cut them in half. They'll go a lot farther that way, and I find it to work out extremely well.
Hmm.
The other The other thing is I use a program called All My Life or All My Notes Organizer. All My Notes Organizer. And the fellow that has written this program and supports it is just the salt of the earth, and it's inexpensive. And it's like a database, only you don't have to spend 1,000 hours learning how to do something with a database. It allows you to take a topic, and then you have subtopic if you like, and subtopic of that if you like. So you can have like a cookbook in there with recipes, fish recipes, this kind of recipes. That's
yeah.
One example.
Yeah, I want to get Harold, thanks a lot for calling. I appreciate it. Lisa, is that okay? Are there issues with that?
No, Harold, I love that you're using 3x5 cards. I, too, use so many 3x5 cards. And I love that you said only one idea on a card. I have been saying that for years. I think that for me, being able to, I actually have a 3x5 card right in front of me. I'm writing down this person's name as you guys call in, because we try to hold so much information in our heads all the time. And I have a book about how to organize with ADHD as well. My children have ADHD, so I understand the working memory issues with that. But even if you do not have an official ADHD diagnosis, starting to write all of your ideas and your to-dos and your thoughts on index cards does two things. One, you remember them. But two, it allows your brain to have that thought go out and onto paper and frees your brain up to be the amazing, awesome brain that it is and not just a glorified to-do list. So if you have not been using index cards and writing things down because you're looking for a digital solution or you're trying to remember everything, you're cluttering up your brain with a lot of things that your brain wasn't designed to remember.
Yeah. A doctor told me once you only have about 7 slots in your brain for short-term memory. That's not a lot. something else is going to pop into your brain and push something else out in that short-term memory.
Yes.
So you need to write it down or come up with a way to organize it for sure in those cards. That's a good idea for sure. Vivian in Green Bay, hello.
Hello. Last fall, I went to the Department of Motor Vehicles to get a federal ID so that I could fly.
Yeah.
And I had what they had on their instruction sheet, but it wasn't clear that I needed to account for every name change.
Mm-hmm.
So my current name, my current last name was from my late husband. And then I had a divorce, so essentially I had 3 different last names. And I wasn't accounting for my first marriage surname with my paperwork when I got there, because I didn't know I needed it. It wasn't clear in the instructions. So the gentleman said, okay, you've got your marriage certificate, but your name changed once before. We need to see how that came about. And it was like, oh, he said, we need your divorce papers. Okay.
Oh, my goodness. Lisa, a comment?
Yes, Vivian, this is the example that I give so often when people think that we can be paperless. They think that we should just eliminate everything and make it all digital. America is a paper-based society. And whenever you have to do something like this, like getting a compliant driver's license to be able to fly on an airplane, we need to produce birth certificates, death certificates, and our social security card, and a physical bill related to your residence, like that we don't usually have. We are a paper-based society, so recognizing that and not giving ourselves the expectation that we will be paperless allows us to keep things like that. And that's a great example of why you need past divorce certificates or marriage certificates, things like that we think we don't need. You need to keep things that are related to bankruptcies, things like that you need to keep for a lifetime.
Yeah. Nathan, what's on your mind?
Hey, I'm just curious. Hello. I'm just curious if you guys have a really quick and easy solution for getting rid of all the papers.
You do, as in your book, Lisa, and it doesn't involve doing it yourself in some ways, those that you have to shred.
Yes, I like things that don't involve doing it myself. So I got a recycling bin that's as big as my trash can so I can recycle as much as possible quickly. But also any office supply store, Office Max, Office Depot, any of those, will shred your paper for you for a fee. So if you can just put it all in a box, the things that you know need to be shredded, take it up there, they will weigh it. It's $1 a pound, so about $20 for a banker's box worth of paper, or $10 to $12 for a brown grocery sack full of paper. Well worth the money. I know you can buy a shredder and shred it less expensively, but it takes so much time, and your time is worth that money.
And the shredder, as you point out, overheats, and you're sitting around waiting for it to... I love that idea. Go ahead.
Sorry. When my father passed away, my grandfather was 94, and he wanted to help. And he sat in my dad's office, and he would shred paper for hours. And he just, I didn't know the solution. He probably shredded paper for 12 hours that week. I would just keep giving him piles to shred before we knew that was a solution. So kids can shred it. Other people in the family member can shred it. But again, during this crisis time, you really don't want to be spending your time doing that when somebody else can do it. There's so much that people cannot do to help you. That's one thing that you can get off of your plate.
And somebody else wondered how long to keep their tax returns. How many years?
So, yep, the official rule is 7 years in the United States. You need to keep that and all of your supporting documentation.
Yeah, and what about a former car titles?
I would ask your accountant.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that one. Well, and just at the end here, organize365.com. That's a site people can go to and probably also find out how to get a copy of your book.
Yes, or it's available everywhere books are sold.
Yeah, and organize365.com gives, it gives you a lot of information based on yours and other people's experiences. I want to thank you, Lisa, so much for taking time to be with us today. It was fun, and I'm going to deal with that kitchen countertop today.
Thank you, Larry. It's been a pleasure.
It's been a real pleasure. A real pleasure reading the book. It gave me some really good information about what I can do with my own papers. And sometimes I'm feeling a little low. My cat got lost, got out last week, and I had an awful time finding her. And I was always looking for something positive, and music kind of helps that. And that gets us right into our next show. Coming up, we're going to be talking about songs that help us escape and make us feel good right now. That coming up next with our guest, Tom Wilmoth, on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mealer.